It's the Deseret News Rise and Shout Podcast, episode 329, and I am your host, Adam Mangum. In this episode, I interview Brandon Gurney of the Deseret News. Brandon just got back from Media Day when we did the interview, and he recaps some of the highlights of that event. He also handicaps the quarterback race, including who he thinks will be the starter against Arizona, and talks about some potential impact freshmen. This is the Deseret News Rise and Shout Podcast. Find this and other great shows at DeseretNews.com/podcast. Follow us on Twitter at BYU_RiseShout, and listen to Brandon Gurney and I talk right now. Welcoming back to the Deseret News Rise and Shout Podcast is Brandon Gurney of the Deseret News. Brandon, welcome back to the show.
Hey, thanks for having me back.
Well, today we are recording this on Friday afternoon. It'll air next week, but we're recording it after BYU football media day. Having read the news, and of course, by the time this posts, there won't be anything that probably most of our listeners haven't read about. But I was just curious, from your perspective, was this? I mean, there weren't a lot of big news type of announcements, series, or anything like that. So was this kind of a ho-hum media day, or did you still, as someone who was there and talking with the coaches and players and those that were available, was this still something that you think you learned something new about BYU football?
It wasn't your typical media day in that it wasn't so much trumpeting what BYU's done and independence and kind of the same thing we've heard. There was more of a slap back to reality and a level of self-awareness that I think was refreshing. Tom Holmo stated that they're in a growth and development stage right now with the program. And that's good to hear, because you just hear all this stuff about BYU just being so great and all that and whatnot, but they were 4-9 last year, and that's really been a pall that's been cast over this program that's really, really hard to ignore. And the players understand it. Coaches understand it. I believe Kwani's made really good moves since that time, especially with firing an offensive staff, which I believe is really capable. We'll see how it unfolds pretty soon here. I mean, nothing's been done yet. You have to put it on the field, obviously, but it's refreshing to hear, and it's always good talking to Kalani. Very comfortable to be around. He just chatted with the media, just sat there and talked about everything from his favorite Seinfeld episodes to addiction to technology, and just sat there and talked. It's just amazing how engaging he can be as a person, and it's completely genuine. So it's a guy you want to cheer for. Everyone's hoping Kalani succeeds, and it's a critical year for him, and he understands this. So we'll see how it comes about. It should be a very interesting season.
Yeah, certainly. Certainly should be an interesting season for all of those reasons and more. One of the things that you've already reported on was that there were a couple of people missing from the roster, that being Ulatula Tau and Joe Tukuafu. Do we know any reasons why at this point, or would it be all speculation at this point as to why those two aren't on the roster, since the coaches didn't make any comments specifically today about their status?
Yeah. Well, I've heard certain things from certain sources, but it would all be speculation. I wouldn't want to speculate on it, because I mean, when you're talking about kids' lives and just their livelihood and all that, you don't want to delve into specifics unless they're out there and available and you can confirm them. So I wouldn't want to do anything in that regard. Ula, it's really a shame. I thought he looked fantastic when he was ready to go, and he's a special athlete, and you hope he can turn around whatever he has going on and become part of this BYU football team. And I think Joe Tukuafu has always been one of the most intriguing athletes to me on the team. He's someone who moves extremely well for his size. I think he'll ultimately proved to be an offensive tackle, and I think he could be an extremely good one, but it's just hard. These kids, to make it public, and Ula's already out there publicly with what occurred last season, and it's tough. You don't want to report stuff like that, but you got to have stuff like that out, because it is big news. So Hopefully, Jeff Grimes was the one that seemed most hopeful. He gave me a quote. He says, "They're not on the roster, but we're hopeful they'll return." And that's it. They're not going to talk about this at all. And I don't think they should. So we'll see if it comes about. I'm not anticipating either will be part of the team. I think a lot of things have to be worked out. But we'll see on that. You never know for certain.
And certainly running back, there are other options, and at tight end, that might also be the case, but obviously big losses in both of those position groups for two talented players if they're not able to play next season. I was just curious from your perspective as you've talked to you got a more opportunity to hear from the offensive coaching staff. The new offensive coaching staff today. I mean, the big question from everybody is going to be going into the season is, okay, the offense probably won't be as terrible as it was last year, which was historically bad, but how much better can they get in 1 year, and will that really move the needle with this really, really tough schedule that they have to play against some, they're in the first month, some pretty quality top flight defenses. What's your take on that? Do you feel like the staff feels that they can do that with the players they've got, or is this more of a year where it might be a step forward, but we're not about to see some explosive offense out of Provo?
I think it's going to be absolutely a more productive offense. I mean, the bar's pretty low there, let's be honest. But as far as just being an electric offense that's just racking up yards and scoring tons of, I really can't see that, especially for the first part of the season, just because the talent at the skill positions, there's a lot of undeveloped talent and a lot of unknowns. I like some of the skill position players. But you compare it to skill position players of the past, and I don't know if they have that Jamal Williams or if they even have. Well, I don't want to say Austin Colley because he's the best receiver BYU ever had, maybe a Cody Hoffman or someone like that, just where that's the guy at each position. I have a lot of hope for Gunnar Romney, and Jeff Grimes is pretty effusive in his praise for the kid and what he expects from him this coming year. I was kind of surprised. I think he used the term he'd be shocked if he did not make a big impact on the team this year. So you know what they're expecting there. But one thing that you can hang your hat on, and Grimes has been very outspoken about this, is the offensive line. And that's his bread and butter. That's what he's coached throughout his career. And he's brought a guy that really translates that he works hand in hand with him in Ryan Pugh, and they have good depth. I don't think I've said that about a BYU offensive line maybe for 10 years, but there's better depth than we've seen in past years. There's guys that, yeah, if that guy doesn't work out, that guy can. When in the past, it seems too many times you're just hanging on to six or seven guys that you think are capable, but I think there's better depth this year. And I think with that offensive line, that was the thing that was extraordinary to me last year, is I think the offensive line was by and large decent. I thought they were a solid unit last year. And usually when you have that, the other gaps get filled in regardless of the talent level. And you didn't see that at all last year. So I think you will see it this year. I think the coaches are more in tune to maximizing the talent that they do have, but I do still think there's a dearth of talent at most skill position players, and we'll see that. But specifically a receiver, I think running back's probably going to be okay. Tight end, I don't want to say dearth of talent there because there isn't one. Matt Bushman is a very, very good football player, but so let's just hone it in on receivers. I think that's where you're looking at, and obviously quarterbacks. So if they can get those things right, I think you could see some decent production from that offensive unit.
And obviously the quarterback's a big question. You had, several quarterbacks take the snaps in the spring game and obviously participate in spring practice, though some of them in a limited way because of injuries and other things going on. And fans love to speculate, of course, who the starting quarterback is going to be. And of course, people seem to have some inside knowledge or something that it's going to be Zach Wilson. No, it's going to be Critchlow. It's going to be, Tanner Mangum will get the first shot. Do you think, Brandon, based on the conversations, based on covering the team during spring practice, do you think that is a decided thing? I mean, you don't have to predict who it's going to be, but do you think the coaches have have a pretty good idea who the starter is going to be against Arizona, or do you think this really is going to this competition is going to be finished in September, I should say in August, for fall practice?
I think they're selling us straight on that. I don't think they've honed in on any guy. I really don't. They're going to give deference to Tanner Mangum, who hasn't been able to perform, who's coming back. And, man, if he was able to get over the hump and get the starting job and have a productive season, man, that'd be an extraordinary story. I'd love to cover that because Tanner's such a nice kid and such good talent. So you'd like to see that happen. I don't know if any college football fan would want to see that happen because he is a great kid. So, but who knows with him? I have no idea what I'm going to see from Tanner Mangum. and I think coaches are really interested with that because it's one thing to get reports of workouts and all that, and it's another thing to just apply those in practice sessions and win the team back, which is a big thing,
yeah.
To win the confidence of his teammates. I personally really like Bo Hodge. We didn't see enough of Bo Hodge, but I think I did see glimpses. BYU's offense was the best that first half against Utah State last year. It just seemed like they had an identity. Bo Hodge was directing an offense that was exciting, actually, and it seemed like they knew what they were doing. And then, of course, he gets hurt
right.
and has gone through the years. So, but I like his demeanor. I like his makeup mentally. I like his football genes. Just coming from a football family like he does. I personally think Bo Hodge, if you were to just hold a gun to my head and just have me pick a quarterback who I think would start that first game, I'd probably side with Bo Hodge. But it is open. And Zach Wilson's obviously a kid, just one practice session. You're going to see improvement. You'd think at least just with his first collegiate practice session being done and now going into workouts and into fall practices. So, but in this day and age, I think you're going to see more than one quarterback playing at BYU just because for a guy to stay healthy is just not a thing that happens very much anymore. So we'll see what comes of it. But Tanner Mangum's a complete wild card, and I think Bo Hodge would be the guy I would pick or predict. I'm probably one of the only media members dense enough to do this, but yeah,
I'll go with
Bo Hodge. That's
Bo
my
Hodge.
Guy.
All right. Well, obviously, as BYU fans, everyone talks about the offense a lot. Last year, the defense, I think, flew under the radar. It did, you know, because the offense was just not very good and got rightfully so a lion's share of the criticism. But when you look at the statistics of that defense last year, both traditional and maybe the advanced statistics, you'll see a defense that was fairly mediocre, not as good as
yeah.
it had been the year before and not as good as it has historically been under Bronco Mendenhall. Do you feel like there's been – are we sleeping on that this year's biggest problem may be on the other side of the ball once you factor in that the best player from last year's defense, of course, will be playing for the San Francisco 49ers? Or do you think they'll figure it out and it's not as much to worry about? We just got to fix that offense.
The offense is still the biggest concern. You don't put up numbers like they did last year and just think it's going to be just rectified. All
right,
I got to see it. In no sense would I say that defense is the bigger concern going into the year, but it is a concern, absolutely. I think they have very talented defensive linemen. We heard a lot about these guys playing on the scout team last year. A lot of them are return missionaries that transferred over when Kalani came to BYU. So I have a lot of confidence in that unit. And when you look at Kalani Sitake coach defenses in the past, it's all about the defensive tackles. You look at what University of Utah has been able to put into the NFL, it's defensive tackles. That's kind of what's made that 4-3 defense sink or swim. So when you talk about guys like Kyrus Tonga and hopefully Tavita Moonga can get it together and play, because I think he's a really talented player and a lot of other guys. And I'm also expecting a lot of increased production from Corbin Kafusi, where he's looking more and more like his brother Bronson, who, man, he absolutely dominated some games. He was such a disruptor of offenses, and you hope to see a little bit more of that from Corbin Kaufusi. So we'll see on that. The secondary is interesting. Troy Warner is still not 100% from his own mouth, which is kind of scary. About a month before fall practices open, but he says he is 90%. And he expects to be 100%, but he could be a big factor in that secondary. He could be maybe a sink or swim type impact guy, just with what coaches believe he can do and the impact he can make. So, and I also believe Butch Powell is going to be much more productive this year. He's kind of over the put on weight and stuff. He couldn't play with that weight, and he knows it. So he's hopefully back to what he was as a sophomore and as a true leader and a guy that's just plays the position about as well as any middle linebacker we've seen at BYU. So
yeah,
defense is a concern, but I still trend toward the offense as still being the big concern.
Yeah. Same here. I think the defense will be all right. Well, one thing you've done recently at the Deseret News is you've done this series. I think you've done four pieces by my count on some of the incoming freshmen, and you kind of talked about their prep careers and different things, and then Ben Criddle provided some insight on what they need to improve on, a little bit of film study piece of it, and for those of our listeners who haven't read those, I'd encourage them to go do it. And the four players you looked at were wide receiver Braden Cosper, defensive back Malik Moore, linebacker Alex Miskella, and then offensive lineman Jacob Smith. Now, you and I talked about the incoming freshman after signing day in January when you were last on the show. I was just curious, as you went back and did this and maybe saw Criddle's analysis of these four players, did it change any of your thought process on their potential impact this year? Do you still... and which of these four players do you think could have the most impact in the 2018 season?
It changed a little bit. I really enjoyed talking to these kids and getting to know their stories and all that, because I haven't covered recruiting like I used to with scout.com. It's something I really want to do more of. I'm a Braden Cosper guy. I'm really high on the kid. I think he played in an offense that doesn't really throw the ball. It's Bingham High School. They run the ball. They don't have to throw the ball. They have the biggest lineman from year to year. So I think when he's able to really go out there and just show what he can do, and when he did with Bingham, he has tremendous ball skills, a very good athlete. He played a lot of different sports. He played both ways at Bingham, which isn't a big deal for most high schools, but it is a big deal for Bingham, where you can start at safety and at wide receiver. So I really like his prospects, and I think there's room for a guy like that. You look at his body type and what he can do and what type of receiver he is. I don't know if BYU has that guy on the roster right now. So I think there's potential for some mobility where he can see production as a first-year player. And I think Alex Miskell is a really intriguing prospect in that he played for a top-flight school, St. John Bosco in California. You're talking about a team that competes with the best teams nationally. He played at defensive tackle of all positions at 220 pounds, and he was able to hold his own, which is pretty impressive. But he knew he couldn't make it as a defensive lineman at the next level, so he transferred schools and just to get film out of him as linebacker. He's obviously kind of maybe behind the curve as knowing all the nuances and whatnot, but that's exciting. A guy like that, maybe he'll bulk up again and become a defensive lineman ultimately, but I think he's an intriguing guy. I think he's a guy to watch as far as guys that can make an impact, and maybe it's going to be on special teams initially. Maybe we'll see him later in the year, but those would be the two guys of the four I profiled that will have the best chance, I believe. When you're talking about an offensive lineman, I don't care how talented they are, just to see an impact as a true freshman offensive line is just not realistic for most guys. So regardless of how I feel about Jacob Smith, I wouldn't pin your hopes on that. And Malik Moore, really interesting player, but BYU's got a lot of cornerbacks. He's going to have to wade through a lot of guys to see playing time. So, but not very few of them are established, if any of them. So maybe there's some mobility there. But yeah, I'd trend toward Braden Cosper and Alex Miskella as far as the guys that I profiled.
Yeah, I enjoyed the one quote from Cosper about when there was changes in the coaching staff. He had been recruited by Cahoon, but apparently his relationship, he had a also knew Fessy Satake, so that it was good for the Cougars that he was able to keep that connection going through there. Well, Brandon, thank you for coming on the show. We had you come on at the end of media day, so it's been a long day for you, and you've probably got stories to write and other things to put together. So we appreciate your time, and I'm sure we'll have you on again sometime soon.
It's a pleasure. Always love being on.
Thank you for listening to our interview this week with Brandon Gurney about Media Day and a few other fun topics. We will be off next week for the 4th of July holiday. We wish you guys a happy Independence Day. Thank you for downloading and listening. If you have enjoyed the podcast and this is your first time, go to iTunes and subscribe. You can also find us on Twitter at BYU_WriteShout, at Facebook at Facebook.com/WriteAndShout. And you can also email the show at riseandshoutpod@gmail.com. Thanks again for downloading and listening, and we will catch you next time. Go Cougars!